and resurrection. Sharing in his death and resurrection. And so as we look at this idea of being united to Christ, we see that there's two aspects of this union. And my clicker isn't working. Let's see. There we go. All right. Tap it. I think we got it now. It's working. So, two aspects of this union together. There's this inward spiritual union. Some have used the word mystical. To this aspect of dying and rising with Him, it's pictured and it's displayed so vividly in our baptism. And we looked at this in Romans chapter 6. The other aspect of this union is the outward physical union. We see this in passages like 1 Corinthians 6 that we've mentioned several times during our study. There Paul asks the question, do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? And his point there is, therefore, what you do with your physical body matters, because it is joined together with him. Also, we see this idea of this outward physical union together with Christ in places like Galatians 6:17, where Paul writes, from now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. So it's on my body. It's a very real, very physical aspect that we will face in our lives because of our union together with Christ. As we look at the lives of people in Scripture, we see examples of this. We see the example of Joseph in the Old Testament, at the end of the book of Genesis. We see all the parallels between his life and that of Christ. He was despised. He was falsely accused. And yet in the providence of God, he's used to preserve life to a whole region of the world. And we see it with other Old Testament saints as well. We see King David, the prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, all experienced real loss and real hardship for the sake of Christ and in the providence of God. We see the example of Stephen in the book of Acts. He stood and he spoke, and in doing so, he was stoned to death. We looked Sunday morning at the Apostle Paul and what he had experienced in his life because of his union together with Christ in beatings and shipwrecks and hunger and homelessness. And so this idea of this physical outward aspect of what we will face because of our union with Christ, it's very real. So let's look together at Colossians 1, verse 24. There Paul writes, now rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I'm filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is, the church. Now, this is kind of a difficult verse to understand, and there's been some people have had some very rough times trying to figure out what's going on here. Perhaps it would kind of help us to change the order of the words in the verse if we said, for the sake of the church, I'm filling up what is lacking of the sufferings of Christ in me. It might help us a little bit. So the lacking here in this verse is not about anything lacking in Jesus.
or in his afflictions, but rather the lacking is in Paul. Here Paul's saying that Paul has not yet reached the full extent of suffering in his life. There's still more suffering for him to experience, that he may be made more like Christ, and that he may bear more fruit in the church through that. When we understand it this way, it's very, very similar to what Paul says in Philippians 3 and 10 and 11. He says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Now this is not, we should not take this or think of this as some kind of weird, you know, masochistic type thing that Paul is talking about. Notice in Colossians, he says that he's experiencing these things for the sake of the church. It is in order to bear fruit in the church for the Lord. And so Dr. Ferguson said it this way: you can't live face to face with the Lord Jesus. You can't live in union and communion with the Lord Jesus without being made like the Lord Jesus. And you can't have just a resurrected Christ. You've got to have the whole Christ. Now, the thing about this is we cannot control what amount of this weakness or this pain that we will endure in being united to Christ in our lives. That's completely up to the sovereign God of the universe. You know, it's not like we're going to go looking for it, but we are promised that it will come. And the Lord uses all of this to make us more useful and more fruitful for his kingdom. Now we're going to go and we're going to look at several passages in the book of 2 Corinthians. I'm going to have them up on the, you can turn there if you want to, but I'm going to have them up on the projector on the screen so that you can see them. And we're actually going to read 2 Corinthians backwards. And we're going to see talking about these same things as he writes to the Corinthians. We're going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. So 2 Corinthians 13 verses 3 and 4. We look at verses 3 and 4. Paul writes, "Since you seek proof that Christ is speaking in me, he is not weak in dealing with you, but is powerful among you. For he was crucified in weakness, but lives by the power of God. For we are also weak in him. But in dealing with you, we will live with him by the power of God." Now, do you notice here what Paul says? He says we are weak in him. Weak in him. So Paul's effectively saying this: the weakness that I experience is the result of my union with a Christ who was weakened in crucifixion. Now that's not how we normally think of being in Christ, is it? Normally we think we are weak in ourselves, but we're strong in Christ. Again, thinking back to Sunday morning and looking at Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. That's kind of our go-to mindset about weakness and strength being in Christ. But in these verses, we see something different. We see that we experience weakness in this life because we are united together with the one who experienced weakness in his earthly life. The next set of verses in this book that we want to look at are in 2 Corinthians 4, verses 10 to 12. And there Paul writes that always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. Here Paul writes that he's carrying around the dying of Jesus. The dying of Jesus, this constant process. Why? So that the life of Jesus is manifest in our bodies. Again here, Paul is saying, death is at work in us so that life might be at work in you. That's what Paul was saying in Colossians 1, the verse that we began this evening with. It also reminds us of Stephen in Acts 2. His faithfulness in proclaiming the truth, and the apostle Paul, who was then Saul of Tarsus, and seeing that and witnessing that, and others who were there and witnessed it, surely it had an effect, and the Lord used it to produce fruit. More recent example that I can think of is the one that just popped in my mind as I was looking and reading and studying this, is that of Jim Elliot and those who were with him. You know, their faithfulness to take the gospel at the cost of their lives. And yet look at how many missionaries and how many servants of Christ have been influenced and inspired and encouraged by his witness. Death was at work in him so that life may be at work in others. And through this process, God builds his church. And at this point, in looking at Scripture this evening and talking about these things, we might be tempted to ask the question, why? Why would God do it this way? Why is this the way of fruitfulness in the Christian life? The answer is because that's the way he did it in Jesus. Death led to life for others. It's the pattern that's established. It's the pattern that works. There is no other pattern that God has put into place for fruitfulness in his church. Another question you might be asking at this point is, have anything positive to say to us this evening? Anything encouraging? The encouragement comes from knowing that the death and the punishment that we receive in our bodies and in our lives on this earth leads to life and to fruitfulness for others. Or as Dr. Ferguson says, as you experience the dying of Jesus, the life of Jesus will be manifested in you. And that's what the Christian life is all about, isn't it? It's about becoming like him. Our last set of verses tonight from 2 Corinthians chapter 1 in verses 3 through 5. And there we read, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. So here we see that as we carry around Christ's death in our bodies for the sake of the church of God, we are comforted by the God of all comfort. And even in our comfort, it is so that we may share that comfort with others in the church and thereby minister to them through the comfort of Christ. All of these things, as we have looked through them over these past 12 weeks, have just put on display for us just how all-encompassing this believer's union together with Christ is. And so, as we go back and look very briefly just over what all we have looked at, what all we have learned over the last few weeks. By our union with Christ, we see that we are dead to ourselves, but we are alive in Him. And it's illustrated, as we said, so vividly in our baptism. Because of this, we are new creation in Him. We are hidden with Christ in God, and we're declared righteous by God. And we become part of a new humanity that has Christ as our head. And through Him, we experience the blessings of the Christian life. Because of Christ's obedience, because He has earned and He deserves those blessings, we, by being in Him and in union with Him, experience them as well. Also, from a practical, more practical standpoint, we've learned that we share in His death and resurrection in our physical bodies. We talked about that tonight. We're going to be conformed to Him in that way. Also, we see that we're set free from the dominion of sin, from its power over us. We can choose to obey God. We can choose to fight against our flesh and against sin. We can go through that process of sanctification in our lives. And also we've learned, John 15, our lives are sustained and nourished by this union, and it is by this union that we bear fruit for Christ. Remember, Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. And so again, the hope from this is that as we understand what God has done for us, what we have been given in this union with Christ and what all this means, that we will recognize that. We will be thankful. We will worship God for what He has done. And if we go now and we read in our Bibles, we will start to see this and we'll start to reflect and to think on exactly what this means. And then out of thankfulness for what He has done, we will begin to live lives of obedience. So let's close in a word of prayer this evening. Father, we thank You for this opportunity we've had to go through this study, to see, Lord, all the different facets of what it means to be united together with Christ. Lord, I pray that we would go from our thankfulness for our understanding of what this means, that would be translated to actions, Lord, the fruit of obedience to You. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, thank you.